Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 20!
The End of Gaim. The title, weeks and weeks and months in the planning.
The title he told us he was using 10 months ago.
Yeah, you had that at, like, Episode 1.
Yeah, like...
The podcast was, like, Gaim.
Like, when I came up with the first, I think, Gaim title, that I came up with that. There's been several people that have suggested it to me before or after that, but I thought of it first. Granted, it's not that hard to think of, but... And now this episode will replay every 5 minutes on BBC America. So, you're welcome.
Except shortened, because they only slot an hour for it.
Yeah, it'll be severely
pretty
edited.
Much.
Like everything else Dawson does.
It'll make even less sense than it does in its full version.
Pretty much. All the faces will start, you know, flipping around. They'll all change into Troy. It's going to be...
And all
some of them will mess up and they'll get... what's his name? Damn it. This joke's gone. I was trying to think Black Troy from Community. Donald Glover. There we go.
Negro. Oh.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaylee did say that word. It was really funny.
All right. So, one-ups.
Onesies.
I got a couple more Wave 6 PR figures. I forgot which ones.
Yeah.
But that's about... It was Omega and Omega Super Mega Force Silver and Quantum Ranger, maybe something like that. I don't know, but
got
that's
a Ball of Light and a Leg Humper.
that's really about it.
Pocket Monster Diamondo and Pearl.
The wedding that I was talking about last week happened, so that was fun. Outside of that, I've got nothing going on, so go ahead.
Good, because you suck.
I don't have too much either. I found the rest of Wave 6 and then Super Mega Force Silver. I'm still missing the White Ranger after going to many, many Walgreens. They all smell the same, in case anyone was wondering.
They all look the same. They're like...
Yeah, it's like the toy aisle is always aisle 5, 6, or 7. So that's a thing. So I memorized those. I don't think I really... bought anything else of importance. I have still been neglecting my Lost Galaxy duties and watching Raising Hope reruns instead.
Duty.
And that's pretty much it. Honestly, I haven't been up to much else.
Okay. I guess that's the part where I talk. I don't think I've really bought a whole lot. X and Y both have 3 badges, so that's cool. I passed up Ash. I'm feeling really good now. So I'm moving on towards badge 4. Thought about just skipping ahead to badge 8, but I said no, let me just do this in order. Seriously, have I done anything else? I don't think so. I had HLJ finally ship out my Sentai Rushes from their private warehouse thing, because those things have been sitting there since Morphicon. Can't think of anything else I did. We found out we're having a girl. That's a thing.
Are you going to make the middle name Wait For It?
No, the middle name is not going to be Wait For It.
I think how epic that would be. Can it be secretly the middle name?
Like the word secretly, or can Wait For It secretly be the middle name?
No,
I don't know what you're asking.
Like, it would be the secret middle name that only we would know about.
I don't know, maybe.
Would the name be secretly Wait For It? That's even funnier.
I didn't understand the question. So, this shot will be taking over Dawson's spot on the podcast when he dies in about 150 years. No, because he's just hides out with a... covering himself in hand sanitizer. He's a fucking creeper. Let's see what else is there. I don't think like anything else has happened. I feel awful. Like, I missed last week, and I had no one-ups last week anyway. Like, even if I would have been here, there's been, like, me going, derp, 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 derp. Yeah, I'm just going to give this to Aerosol, and Aerosol's going to be like, well, pass, because nothing cool happens to me. Except when it does.
Sounded just like him.
That's how I hear Aerosol in my head.
What he said.
No, that's just even all worse. Of it.
Even his own one-ups.
I'm also having a girl. So, take that.
Aerosol reproduces by budding. He's just going to split off into a second version of himself that's already bald.
Aren't all babies bald?
No. You would know that if you weren't queer.
I'm in a refrigerator.
You're right. Straight people know more about baby's hair.
When are you not in a refrigerator?
When I'm out of the refrigerator. Like right now. I'm in the kitchen, though, if that counts for anything.
Don't make me destroy you.
All right, so nudes.
What?
What the hell do we got going on? Complete selection, Deca Driver.
I'm nude.
With rider cards. That's a
I'm
thing.
Excited.
I hope we'll come with that.
I'm excited about that, Brian. How do you
complete
feel about
selection,
it?
Complete selection, rider, or DK driver that comes with a pudding snack pack. No rider cards to be seen anywhere.
Pudding sounds fantastic right now. There's none in this house.
I have pudding.
Got a doctor.
The fact that it costs
pudding,
like
bitch.
$200 is kind of off-putting, but I really like
it's
the
totally
idea.
Worth it.
I like the idea more if it has new sounds in it,
and it actually turns you into the riders.
Yeah, that would be worth it. I think
that would be.
Can it actually turn me into a dick with fabulous hair?
I just want a dick.
That's a real
dick
question.
Roman.
My dick already has fabulous hair.
So those will be out in February.
I don't want everyone in the audience picturing that right now.
There was new Tamashii scans, except there's like nothing in it worth talking about.
There was the Black Wizard All Dragon thing.
That is Black really pretty.
Black it's really Beast awesome.
March.
Black Beast's
fuck
not
you.
New.
Fuck you. I know, but he's pretty. Fuck all of you. Fuck you. Fuck Dawson.
Flame Dragon's a lot
just
prettier, though. It really is.
Yeah, it's really badass. I like how they're like, should we just do all the dragons? No, let's just do one. They have one called All Dragon, for God's sake. They gave us an out.
So that really does look fantastic.
Well,
like,
Black Beat was in Forever Red.
He was. You can get it for your... Black Beat is that thing that you'll purchase to go with your Red Rangers from the Super Megaforce line. You can have them fight each other. You can pretend the Rangers are really mad at Black Beat because his figure is a lot prettier than theirs. It'll be amazing.
I'm just going to have him there waiting to fight the White Blaster Beetleborg. So, like, forever, just waiting.
The Black Beat figure is just sitting there waiting forever. For
that's all the Shadowborg exists for.
White Beat, is that what his name was?
What? That sounds really nasty.
His name was not White Beat.
The White Beat. That just sounds like the secret identity Dwight takes to protect Shroot Farms at night. The White Beat.
His name is... Hold on. I'm looking at
Bears, White Beats, Battlestar Galactica.
His name was... Keep talking. I'm going to find it in a second.
There's also a Super Tataba.
Yeah, that's... If I'm reading the little magazine scan right, it's going to be a... Web of exclusive in March or something like that.
His right. name is Extra Dimensional Supplier Kabuto.
That's a stupid name. That's an awful name. I send it back.
Dawson prefers the White Blaster Beetleborg.
White Beat.
Well, you know what? You guys White talked about it last week while we were all dead that I'm really excited about. Show a lock seat set. In fact, I'm most excited about it because it pisses off Dawson.
Also seems about right. In other news, Dino Charge is going to be 40 episodes, and there's no confirmation whatsoever that it's going to be split.
Except there is.
I know, right? It was confirmed like the second Dino Charge was announced. I think even before that, when they renewed their contract. God, people. Like, didn't we go through this with Megaforce, where they said Megaforce will be 40 episodes, and they're like, oh my god, they're not splitting it, everyone have a party. Didn't we do this?
Yeah, we did.
I bet we'll do it again next year with whatever we're adapting that's after Tokyo.
Super Trains.
People.
Super Trains and Naked Penises.
I think that's it.
I can't think of anything else. No Sentai news, no Rider news. No other Power Rangers news except for the non-news.
Did you guys happen to check out the Drive episode titles?
Oh, yeah, I did. I don't remember them off the top of my head. I did look at them, though.
Episode 2 is called What a Kamen Rider Is.
Yeah, like, what is a Kamen Rider?
Oh, Matt Mullins can finally know.
So Len jokes. Stupid Matt Mullins. He was like the golden snitch of Morphicon. Like, you could not find him. Seriously.
Keith Justice could, but I think Keith was in the back sucking that guy's cock, so that's why he found him.
I think Kevin and I lapped the convention floor like 3 times just looking for him. Like, we just go, alright, this time, for sure, he's going to be around this corner. Damn it, Matt Mullins.
Speaking of Drive, it's
it ruined my convention
it's
experience.
It's shaping up to be pretty cool, I think. But
well, that and having Dawson as a Morphicon buddy. That was an awful experience too, by the way.
I liked it.
That's because they kept touching you.
True. Drive shaping up to be pretty good. We touched each other. That's our discussions.
Well, I didn't really have anything else to say after that.
Well, I just thought it was a funny follow-up.
Yeah, Dawson is a Dawson writer.
Couldn't even think of an insult. How did we run out of insults? We're only 10 minutes in.
After 5 years, the well just kind of runs dry.
The well ran dry 5 years ago. I've just been reusing them over and over again. No one's commented.
How many times could I call him a fucker?
You used Donkey Butter 3 times.
The whole podcast for 5 years has just been me going, Dawson's gay. You're a fake.
Oh my god. Now it's time for the next thing.
Superhero Taimu. Vesha Sentai Tokuja! Vesha Sentai Tokuja! That's actually how the thing does it. You don't know if anyone knows that. Kamen Rider Gaim!
Talk about it twice!
Kamen Rider Gaim! Shupa Chinko! That's the actual superhero time thing. I know because I had to watch TV Nihon subs for Tokuja because I didn't want to watch the HD because fuck MKVs.
Awesome.
I just want to put that out there. So
it's episode what, 29 of Tokyuger? I had to watch 3 episodes of this today.
You know, I don't blame Dawson for not watching last week's. That was just a thing. I tried to block
but
out.
To last week's credit, it did make me laugh once.
But is that when like Marge Simpson was like told the other what's her name? The other chick, like, you're not good enough to be the house slave anymore. You gotta actually go out and till the fields and pick cotton.
The hell are you talking about?
I don't know. Just wanted to make
where
a slavery
did this
reference.
Come from? This has nothing to do with the conversation. Okay.
I don't even know what's going on.
You know, the angry Marge Simpson lady and then the chick with the umbrella was there, and she's like, "Why the fuck are you here? Get out the house, bitch. You're not going to attend to the chillins. You're going to go out there, and you're going to pick some cotton." And she was like, "Oh, yeah, some massa. Whatever you say, massa."
Okay, weirdly enough, I am starting to pick up what you're talking about now.
And then she, like, plucked feathers from her butt and started throwing them everywhere. And then somehow it affects right through his helmet.
Yeah, the amusing part I found was just Bakura
through the helmet,
batting away all of the feathers, and then one smacks right into the back of Wright's head, and Akira just, like, drops his weapon in shock. And then just bows apologetically.
Akira really is the best part of this show.
That was like the one time I laughed in three episodes. This week was the Tokugers teaming up with Schwartz.
The Schwartz!
Which ended about as predictably as you would think. Yep. He betrayed them.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
That said, I did kind of enjoy the whole lunch scene, which was kind of amusing. And just them, like, sitting down and planning, I thought was kind of neat. I would have liked it if it didn't, like, end with just him stealing the Drill Russia, because, I mean, it's like, you kind of knew he was going to betray him. I would have liked to see them, like, get along, but kind of, like, still be enemies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually figured out listening to Brian have a discussion with himself for 8 minutes last week. Why I like Wright so much, and it's because he's an asshole. And I'm like, you know, I like this guy. I'm like, you know, I kind of don't mind Wright. And it's Brian's like, Wright's an asshole. And I'm like, that's what it is. He's me.
I was watching that scene. Asshole. I was watching that scene where they're all, like, yelling their grievances about Wright at him. And Takati, who was remembering being sprayed in the face with milk by Wright and then laughed at, was not upset about Wright spraying him in the face, but was upset about it being milk.
He was mad for all the wrong reasons.
So if it was like anything else, I don't know, orange juice, whatever, he'd be fine with it.
Why did it have to be milk? Thanks, Takati.
These are the things that happen. But yeah, you know, it. I watched it. It was good. I don't know. I like how, like, that bitch is like, I see Greta's reflection in the mirror. I'm going to get me some of that. She's alive. And then Swartz is like, I'm going to get revenge for Greta. I don't know why he talks like that, but he does. I'm going to get me some revenge for Greta. I'm going to get that boy.
Did you become a black sitcom?
Schwartz, Mr. T?
This episode was directed by Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry's imagination.
To Schwartz's credit, he was actually assumingly telling the truth about actually wanting revenge. He just wasn't telling the truth about, you know, wanting to team up.
And then Schwartz dressed up like Medea, and
Schwartz is
started yelling at people. Schwartz then used his train to run over some lady's car because she tried to take his parking spot. I can't be the only person that's actually watched a Tyler Perry movie, can I?
Oh, God. I never, ever. No, ever. No, thank you.
You're so right.
I'm trying to think of what else. I'm trying to think of what else happened in this episode, but the Tyler Perry thing is actually more amusing, which is really sad.
Just because I'm not the same skin color as my people does not mean I cannot watch the movie. What? We can all go to the movie and enjoy some Popeye's fried chicken during the feature film. And talk really loud during the movie.
You're starting to turn to Morgan Freeman.
Well, now.
Here we go. We're going to watch the penguins as they march.
I had to sit through that movie, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
I'm sitting through this. I watch Ghost Danger on a weekly basis.
So Tokyuger Schwartz stole the drill Russia, and to my surprise, he didn't actually get it back at the end of the episode, which was nice. He's just got it now. But
he can put it on his big robot. That sounded really weird.
I want to put it on my big robot.
We had Hyper Youngo.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That confirms to us that other people can use the thing. I mean, we knew about it because scans, but for anyone who doesn't pay attention to scans, that does confirm for us that the other Tokyugers can use the power-up, and actually it is in the next preview episode for Yellow and Pink. I guess they had it at the same time because I guess two vaginas equals one penis. So the power, it can split its power over the two ladies at one time.
Idea what's going on. I've been lost since Marge Simpson.
And then I think she was getting all hot and bothered talking about bottle shadow. She's like, oh yes, we've all heard of your exploits, bottle shadow. Touches self, like, whoa. It's like, what are you doing, old lady? I'm not as dry as you think.
I will say something to Peter's credit. I can't remember if it was two episodes ago or just the last episode where she was yelling. It was what you were mentioning earlier about the slave driver thing. And, where she was yelling at Noir and Narrow.
Yeah, that's her name.
To target. Akira as well as Schwartz. And I do like that at the beginning of the episode you can see that they were plainly targeting Akira, so it is nice that they
fuck
actually
them traitors. That. Yeah, they're like, get the traitor.
It's funny because
everyone's so black.
He thought he got freed on the Underground Railroad, but fuck him. Get him back in here.
As I was watching this episode, or these episodes, I kept like sitting there going, oh, well, it's nice that they, you know, remember to do that, or it's nice that they remember this about the series. And I realized how kind of stupid it is that I'm praising a series for remembering itself. Like, I would hope that it remembered what it set up throughout the course of its, you know, episode. It's just like, I'm so strapped for stuff to say about it, because it's not bad. I can't say that Tokyo isn't necessarily bad. It's just like,
well, it's not Ghostager.
It's not grabbing me at all. It's like, it's not.
I could grab you.
I'm not invested.
I used to be able to grab you, but I can't anymore. I think he asked me to grab you also, and it just.
But you kind of summed up how I feel about the show. Like, I personally, I don't think it's as bad as like Dawson thinks it is.
Well, nothing ever is as bad as Dawson thinks it is.
But I agree it's not really capturing my... sometimes it can. There's definitely times where it can, but not for, like, a longer period of time. Like, Kuroyuger, I was invested, like, the entire show. And while I still have fun with Tokyuger from time to time, it's not... It doesn't have that same click to it.
Well, you know, when this show really catches like my interest is usually when Akira is doing anything, just simply because I think, like I said earlier, he's like the best character on the show. He's like my favorite thing to watch. Like, oh, good, Akira is on TV. TV, it's my computer, but Akira is on the screen. I can like get some, I know I'm gonna laugh at something, or he's just gonna have an exceedingly hilarious and stupid fight scene. It makes me happy. Also, Ticket. Anything Ticket's doing makes me smile. And pretty much any other character I'm watching is like, oh, they're here. Great. It's Kagura's busted face. Can we just cut this bitch now and get it over with?
Man.
Yeah. I just don't like her face. I do. We established that at Morphicon. I think I flipped off an entire restaurant just because it called itself Kagura.
That did happen.
And Wagon, let's not even start with that. That bitch in this episode, she just sat there and she's like, the conductor comes in and is like, Akira is being attacked. Fuck, you gotta go help him. And she's like, well, that's some story progression. I'm like, what? Why are you speaking?
I don't think she knows what story progression is.
I don't think she knows what being a character is. She's just there. She's just a whore.
It's just some like crazy person in a suit that wandered onto set. It's like, you're not supposed to be here. Let's face it. You don't belong in the show.
It's like from a completely different live action show.
I think I just heard Murder Train. That's good.
Yeah, it's going by.
It's coming to get Wagon.
Oh, please, please come get Wagon.
So I feel like we've gone on about this long enough.
All right, well, time to shut down the Underground Railroad and move on to Gaim.
Yay, Gaim.
No, the Dawson's real thing is like, yay, shut down the Underground Railroad. More slavery.
So this was the official, unofficial ending of Gaim. Essentially the main end of all the story. Next week is a sort of random non-ending to tie to crossover movies and crossover future movies, whatever. Jam's there. He's like, ghost jammed, whatever. But this is the finale that matters. And what a disappointment. I mean, after all this time going on about Mai and the golden fruit, Coda ends up outside the apartment with a blue French horn going for Robin. Can you believe this? I don't know where to start. I was very satisfied with the finale.
In the beginning there was darkness. Oh, no, we're not starting there.
But
too far
back? It
was
very weird, too. Like, it gave me a weird tone. I think it's because only the first 5 minutes felt like Gaim, because they were fighting. And then he turned into a white-haired god and opened up the sky. So, like, it was very weird that about, like, 6 minutes in, Coda's like a god and, like, preaching and stuff. I'm like, oh, wait, what's happening? What happened to the show?
Yeah.
Sucked in all the souls from purgatory and was like, I am your god.
That whole thing was a little much for me. I tweeted this to Brian, and I tweeted a video.
The ultimate subtweet.
I tweeted a video on Twitter as a joke, marking it as Gaim spoilers, but I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Simpsons episode with Poochie in it.
I don't watch that show.
You just... Never mind. there's this thing. They add this fake... Like, they add this new character to the in-show cartoon called Poochie, and everyone hates him. So they write him out by just having him go, I have to leave now. My home planet needs me. And then he just, like, ascends to the sky and dies off screen. And that's the vibe I got from this. Because Coda just, like, turns into this, like, omniscient being. And then, like, opens up a hole in the universe and hurls, you know, everything at this planet. And he's just like, we have to go now. Our new planet needs us.
That's like how we added... him up with better lighting.
That's like how we added Aerosol to this show and nobody liked him. And then
he had to leave. Very weird. Like, I was satisfied with it because I'm glad that it wasn't like a trick where he got the power and then all of a sudden Stuggers like, all right, you can only do these two choices or nothing. And I'm glad it's that it wasn't like nothing. That. that's exactly what happened. Now I'm just picturing the end to the great battle. It's nerf or nothing. And this whole show has been a nerf commercial. So, I'm glad in that way. And I'm essentially happy with the resolution. It did seem very, you know... just convenient that he's like, oh, hey, how come none of the other people you challenge didn't realize you can just fucking break the world and do God mode? Why didn't anyone realize you can be like, boom, Miranoi, it's chumped on Terra Venture, man.
But Karen Ashley comes in, MMPR or nothing, bitch. Like, whoa.
He whips her into the void, too.
And to be honest, after Brian and I talked about it last week, I was a smidge disappointed we didn't get that reset button where Coda just sort of disappeared because he hadn't seen them in a while. And just because that seemed kind of neat. But it's one of those things where I almost have that... what was that show that was really weird? Anime? Zetman type thing where it's like... I want to express...
That's how Dawson narrows it down. That anime is weird. Oh, yeah.
I want to express what I want to say, but then I'm like, oh, it's like, I know how I feel about it, but I don't. Aerosol, now that you're here, do you have a Venus explanation of Baron's motives that will make me feel like a complete idiot?
I don't know if I necessarily have an explanation. I have what I think was going on.
Okay. I still think he lost it.
But he's in this episode. He mentioned that he wanted the power to kind of destroy the world as it is and recreate it to where the weak were not being pushed around by the strong. Which I feel like he's mentioned at some point earlier, not the whole world destroying thing, but the fact that he really didn't like the rules of the world, and you could kind of get the gist of it just like seeing some of his backstory where, his family was kind of like not really forced out, but, you know, they lost their home and everything because of Yggdrasil. And, I don't know. There's multiple points where he mentions, like when he's talking to Ryoma and Cid and them, about how they kind of play with the rules of the world. And the rule of the world, as far as Kaido sees it, is that the strong trample over the weak. And, you know, that is what makes them strong. And it's the right of the strong to wipe out the weak. And that's sort of how Kaido sees...
But he didn't like it.
Yeah.
I can get that, but it just seemed like so often he liked being strong. And I in particular remember when he found out about Yggdrasil's plan about everyone with drivers just surviving, and he was like, fuck yeah, strong survive.
Well, and the way I saw it was like, he's kind of a conflicted person. I have no idea if this is necessarily... right, but he doesn't like the way the world worked, but he recognized that was how he needed to grow strength. He had to play by the rules of the world, whether he liked it or not. That's the only way he could get stronger, and the only way he could actually effectively change anything is to get stronger. So he has to essentially play by the rules of the world in order to ever hope to accomplish anything. So it's sort of a, I don't know, a damned if you do kind of thing.
It's kind of a catch-32,
yeah,
as Jimmy would put it.
It's similar to how Takatora was, well, maybe, how Takatora obviously didn't want to do what he was doing with Yggdrasil.
But he thought it was the only way.
Yeah. Well, with Kaido, it's like this is the way he sees is like this is what he needs to do to gain strength. And once he can gain enough strength and get stronger and be the strongest, then he can affect change.
I could
be the very best, like no one ever was.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all I've got. That's about the best
I can see that. It's just. Especially in the last few episodes, this had a hard time sitting right with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, definitely. It just felt so unorganic.
I didn't feel with you.
And it was just so random. Like, he fucking lost it. Like, he forgot to take his meds.
I think part of that is definitely that they had to, like, bill him as the villain for this final arc. So they maybe like showed him in much more of a negative light than they normally do. I don't know. Because I agree. It definitely has been weird these past few episodes where it's just like all of a sudden he's crazy. he wants to rule the world.
Yeah, it's like that just it just seemed like such a sudden shift. But I have to say the fight was very well done.
So what are we going to do tonight, Kaito?
Even the
same thing we do every night, Zach. Try to take over the world.
Even the first few minutes, I really liked the intercutting of the fight in the alternate dimension in ours. Reminded me of when they intercut Slade and all of past and future fights in Arrow, which was really cool.
And Batman. But
it was. I really liked it. It was a good fight scene. And the coach was like, "Man, fuck this! It's prison rules," and he stabbed him. but so you're telling me that Michi can go around practically being a psychopath? And he's like, it's Kay, but Kaido makes one slip and you stab him.
I'm sorry, why is it practically? He was a psychopath.
Well,
I know it was a final lie, but it just seems funny.
Well, I mean, he didn't really have a choice.
It's true. Well, Michi didn't give him very many choices there.
There's always a choice.
Michi was no longer a contender.
He could have been
a contender.
I knew it was coming, so I just waited for it.
That's what she said.
That's what the baby's going to say when its middle name is wait for it. Secretly.
Michi was no longer part of the whole Golden Fruit thing. It was just down to Kota and Kaito. And so if Kota forgave him and let him win, then the whole world was fucked. So he didn't really have a choice.
That's true. It just bothers me that, like, Michi... I mean, I'll talk about Michi in a second, but just after how many things Michi did that were arguably more despicable and deceptive. Yeah. He killed his own brother, sort of, not really.
But you know what I like about that?
Style. Luckily, well, Robin revived him.
I do like, actually kind of like that Takatora is alive just because I liked Takatora, but that's just me personal. But I actually think it's better that Michi didn't die, because it's even worse for him, because now he has to live with what he did.
Yeah, I really liked his final fate of sort of being a depressed janitor, looking off at the dance group. I thought it was very fitting, and it was like kind of an ending for him I didn't think about. I kept thinking about like all these ways he could die, which sounds terrible. Liked the way it was done, especially since before I watched this, I rewatched the first episode, and there was like in the very first episode, Michi was barely in it. But when you first see the beat writers, Michi's up there and happy on stage, and that scene, it almost mirrors it. Actually, it's kind of funny, like where Michi's
That's
up there happy,
the
but
point,
in this
stupid.
One, they're all happy. And he's not. And even I forgot that Zach was a complete dick in the first episode and is the one that pulled out their card. And then here he's just like, God bless us, everyone.
Why is he Tiny Tim? Is it
because
of the crutch?
He's on the crutches. And like, I love how Zach is desperately pleading with Michi to help him spread the word about the beat writers. Like, he's committed to this bit. I was pleased.
To me, one of the saddest things I think I've seen in quite some time is Greedon putting up like the "Have you seen me?" poster of Hase.
No joke.
Nobody
I laughed.
Told him.
Like
nobody
seriously,
told the poor
when
guy
I saw
that
him,
his best friend is dead.
Like in the midst of the episode, I'm sitting here with this sort of confused stone look, trying to figure out what I'm watching.
That's his.
And then all of
look,
a sudden,
folks, don't
he puts
let him
up,
fool you.
He puts up the poster, and I literally laughed out loud because I'm like, oh, dude, how have you not asked about him before? Like, he had all this time before the world went to shit, and then when the world's in the apocalypse, he didn't think, hey, where's my friend?
I do think it was an effective scene just slightly before he puts the poster up where he's walking past the wall, and the wall is just full of missing posters, where it's like, it kind of dawns on you how many people died during
like
this whole invasion. Because it's just like, it's just a wall and it's just covered. I like that. And yeah, the whole Hase thing, it's like, why did no one tell him? Seriously.
This like, it's ridiculous. Been a long time.
Looking back, who knows? Kaito and Kota? Was that it?
Sid.
Did
Sid's
Kaito...
dead too.
Yeah, it was...
Well,
I don't know. Kaito knows that he ate the fruit and started rampaging around like an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but it's not necessarily about who knows. It's about him asking about him. Because
he's asked, though, before, I believe.
Yeah, he could have just asked the wrong people, or they're just like, I don't think I want to tell him.
Well, yeah, there's definitely been moments where he has been sitting around wondering where Hase was. They've been very brief, but...
I wonder what Hase is doing.
How did it not come up during the fight? Like, man, we're really struggling for reinforcements. Hey, what about my friend? Oh, look, a Pop-Tart. Oh, great. Like, they just keep wanting to distract him from it?
Oh, good, a Pop-Tart?
It just seems like it would come up at some point. Because, like, multiple major like story Pop-Tarts. Arcs have happened. Since then. Like that was early on. That was like pre Jinba Gaim.
Speaking of Junoichi though, this is the most he's done for a long time.
Yeah.
in any episode.
Poor guy.
I'm still waiting. Like up to that like last second of the last video, I'm like, all right, Greedon's gonna do something. He's gonna come through and he's gonna do it. Nope.
We have that epilogue episode next week, just still, so it could be there.
I think at this point, it's like all of the pre-show summaries lied to us.
Pretty much. I still don't
know
why
was not Koda's best friend in the end. Takatora was no Oja.
Oh, that would have been so good, though, if he was, huh? Just but, killing people left and right. I would love mass murder.
Takatora.
He's alive.
He
fell into the water. It was obvious he was alive.
I'm happy that he's alive, like Kevin said, because I like him. And essentially, had Koda not god-moded him like everything else, he would still effectively be dead. He was brain dead.
Just like
I think that it wouldn't have been as bad, not bad for like a better word, but if he hadn't have already thought to be dead and came back twice, like if this hadn't happened before, but the plot really needed him to be sort of dead before when Michi took the Shinzangetsu stuff. But now it just seemed like it seemed very soap opera-y, where it's like, oh no, he's. Although it would have been even funnier if it went a different face.
It more or less serves as a way of. Kind of a quasi redemption for Michi, at least a little
that's
bit.
Like, yeah, I think that's like the only way that you could have any sort of compassion towards Michi or like hope that he could be redeemed, because that was the thing that did it. I mean, he killed his own brother. I mean, he did a lot of bad stuff, including trying to shoot Koda in the head. But I mean, before this episode, he actually went through with it. And at the time, I mean, he did have the intention to, so.
I feel like it maybe could have been better if they left him brain dead. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds weird, but I like the idea of Michi's fate essentially being, you know, him having to live with what he did, and part of that being having to take care of Takatora, who's in this, you know, vegetative state. You know, he's now reduced to just a caretaker.
And then there's a feeding tube, and then a PSP, and then angels come down, and gotta be our Keanu Reeves.
Like, what's the PSP have to do with it?
I don't know.
It's a South Park reference.
Oh.
And Kenny's on a feeding tube, but then the angels need Kenny to die, but Cartman doesn't want him to die. Well, Stan and Kyle don't want him to die. Cartman wants him to die because he wants the PSP.
Lost.
But yeah, I was conflicted about him being alive in the end, pretty much for everything you guys just said.
Yeah, because we're awesome. I mean, I'm awesome.
Aside from that, though, Michi's fate I thought was well done.
Yeah, because
I like it.
It definitely leaves a lot of it up to your imagination, where it's like, well, if you really feel like he did deserve to be redeemed or whatever, then you can kind of carry on and think that way. But at the same time, if you didn't, it's an effective end for him. You know, he has to live his life kind of facing the fact that not many people are probably going to trust him anymore.
Yeah, it was well done. I kept expecting him to do something
to be trusted
in the finale, like try to jump in the fight or something, but no, he was just still in that lab the whole time, I guess. But it is really funny. I mentioned it before, but like after all that buildup, it's just crazy that Michi just ended up crumbling upon himself. On another subject, that's a really weird transition, I apologize. But sort of speaking back to what Aristotle was saying about all the missing posters, you know, aside from the easy button to get rid of Helheim, I'm glad that we didn't have the reset button on the whole world and that it was still shown to be affected.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it was kind of a best of both worlds thing. Was like Hannah Montana style. But like I was so conflicted about it because the Kodo solution was kind of weird and very easy buttony, but at the same time, everything still happened. The world was still affected. And like when I was thinking about it, watching this, like not only the characters in the world has like been the most affected I've ever seen over the course of a whole Rider series. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the best of both worlds is about being bisexual.
And just the fact that the whole conflict, like the whole, every fight, every episode, there was no real villain. It was just about a bunch of people and their decisions they made because of the forest.
Even the fact that I went back in time trying to stop the whole thing from happening.
Dumb bitch. But well, she left the goddamn sports almanac and all went to hell. even the overlords, like all of them, they did evil things, but it wasn't really any generic evil, I want to take over this. It was all about people and their decisions because of the opportunities presented by the forest, which I thought was really cool. And then I like that we got to see Sagara moving on to another planet of people that just discovered fire. I think he needs to give him a little more time. The fact that that's just going to keep going. He's just going to keep going from world to world, dimension to dimension.
And fucking with people.
it's just such an interesting take on the conflict from what we usually have.
Penis.
Yeah, I kind of blanked on what I was going to say.
I had to fill the air for a second with something, so I filled it with penis.
As a result, the reply to what I just said was a tiny penis.
You should be used to that.
I did... because we were all kind of... I don't want to say we were all expecting a reset or anything like that, but I know a lot of people were.
I was expecting it because they killed everyone.
It definitely seemed like there would be. Or, you know, there were a lot of kind of possibilities that seemed like they could have happened. A more Blade-type ending, a reset, whatever. I think that's part of what made it kind of weird that it's like, well, we're just going to move to a new planet now. You guys take care of yourselves, okay?
We're just going to move.
Because it just seemed weird to me that Kodo wouldn't try to fix the world. He's just like, well, I think they got this. We're just going to go.
I'm just going to go. There's not much I can do.
I think it was more about removing that threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, he kind of realized that either way, anyway, leaving Helheim there was not good. So that was kind of his way of doing it. And
radical.
And I like how they tied the whole conversation back to
pizza.
To the original conversation, or that my future Mai had with Gaim about dying the world in your image. and the you know, the sports almanac and all that stuff. Don't let Biff get the sports almanac. What?
Well, it's old Biff, and he's got a cane. You're gonna hit a man with a cane?
Damn it, old Biff.
Absolutely.
It's all your fault. Old Biff invented Helheim. but yeah, they did a good job of tying it all together. And I just like the way the conversation went, where he's like, "All right, well, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna destroy the world and rebuild it?" And he's like, "Are you fucking stuck on stupid boy? I told you I was gonna say this." Like, he essentially just said that. Like, God, you're such an idiot.
Are you stuck on stupid?
No wonder plants are so low on the food chain.
In all fairness, Dawson is stuck on stupid. So
yes, I am. I decided to live there. It's easier. But yeah,
I will say though that
just like your mother,
with the solution that we got, it did make for a somewhat bittersweet ending overall when you really think about it, because like so many people are dead, and so many bad things happened, and those things Kaido's aren't going away.
She
it's just
all about Kaido's dick.
It's as they were talking about. Bravo and Greedon were talking about how, you know, no matter what bad things happen, there's still a chance to move on and, you know, make up for it and kind of keep going with your life. I think that kind of is a good way to kind of summarize this little ending here, is that, you know, things didn't just magically get better with a reset button or, you know, people being resurrected or whatever. It's just things are still kind of shitty right now, but, you know, they're working towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I did like that when you leave things, Greedon, you can see that Greedon is a different person, a better person than he was at the beginning of the show, because he was just awful.
Same thing with Bravo. Bravo was a complete dick.
They've clearly changed. You can see that they've clearly changed, and so I thought that was good. I did like that about it.
Zach too. I'm glad he was alive.
Zach is awesome.
We'll probably talk a little bit more about this in our like wrap up next week, but. Yeah. Yeah, I really like Zach, and basically everything you just said, I'll have stuff to say on next week. I don't want to, like, spoil it now.
Was Coda's sister in this episode at all?
No, she wasn't at all.
She should have been, like, even if it was just a scene, because, I mean, she hasn't been around so much. She was in that right before Kaido, you know, or Coda. God damn it! Right to the very end. Coda, you know, ate the fruit. But I mean, like, at the beginning she was around a lot, and like I said, I noticed a couple little parallels from the first episode, and there was a whole conversation that she had with him about, you can't just change into another person overnight. Like, what do you want to do with your life, Coda? I don't know, I'm thinking of working construction, maybe becoming a demigod, I don't know, just like I'm just working towards it, you know, like, what do I apply to? But
like, self-commerce through technology.
That conversation sort of echoed a little bit in his conversation with Takatora about how you can always change and move forward, and kind of like we were talking about with the world. But it would have been nice to have a sister in there, just because she was there talking about how he would change into the person he wanted. That's also probably a little bit for next week's series wrap up, but how eventually he would become the person he wanted to be.
She's never.
Well, it is weird that. It is weird that she wasn't in there at all, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't really show up that much as the series went on, but she was still his sister. And it does seem a little odd that they wouldn't, like, show her mentioning the fact or dealing with the fact that Coda's now just kind of gone.
Yeah, it would have been nice in general to see people reacting to that. Like, just Coda made such a huge sacrifice, and then we cut to months later, and people sort of mentioned it, but it really wasn't any like, oh, hey, this guy just fucking saved the world. Whatever.
We're going to save the world.
He sort of did get a blade like it, except he gets to go have albino sex with Mai on a desert planet. But
who doesn't want to have albino sex with Mai?
They can just build their eyes like match now. It's all romantic. But I don't know. I was very conflicted, but ultimately satisfied. Like, at the end of the day, most of my problems are fairly
That's
small.
That's what she said.
And everything pretty much turned out in a satisfying manner.
Yeah. I pretty much agree entirely.
Brian agrees, too. He's, like, so agreeing, he can't handle himself.
Man. Brian is so buried, you can't handle it.
Dog kept barking, so I muted my microphone.
Oh. Yeah, next
Brian's,
week will
Brian's
be
dog one at the dick.
Our epic series wrap-up, going over the characters and the story throughout the whole year, and also, obviously, next week's episode, although I really don't anticipate much of next week's episode impacting anything.
Watch, it's the most amazing episode of Gaim ever, and we're all just going to eat crow on this one.
Like, it's probably, it's essentially
Why
just
are we
like
eating the crows?
The team up verse again. Poor guy, right
the
to
counting
the
crows. Which was happening?
It gets these weird
Mr. Jones and me.
This is what happens when I use very common idioms around Kevin.
extra vagina.
Okay.
Worldwide Day of Play.
Oh yeah, there we go. I was like, there wasn't what? An episode, right?
Like, there was a segment here.
This is when you encourage kids to stay inside and play video games. They never specified what type of play.
With themselves.
Yeah, there was no episode of Megaforce this week.
It's to recover from last week. Fucking jealous shit.
There's multiple different episodes floating around in various languages. French.
That, what?
English.
French isn't a language.
There might be a Spanish one by now. I don't know. I feel like Super Megaforce has ended everywhere except here.
No one else has a worldwide
Including on the new
play.
Planet Coda found.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? The Invest got to see the ending of Super Megaforce first.
Those aliens with the fire probably have already watched from Super Mega Force. I mean,
that's what they were raging over by the bonfire. Can you believe it? Some of them didn't even get a line.
Of cocaine?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're gonna go run lines. That's what that actually means.
But yeah, the finale happened in France and.
I was a genius in France.
A lot of people have watched it, and there was a lot of rage.
And they go watch it again when it happens here, and they'll rage even more.
But I'll leave it at that, and we'll talk about that when it actually airs here, never. And now it's time for Ramble time.
Yeah!
The only
Pokemon was about flying battles.
The only thing I really want to say about this episode is that I love how like the theme of the episode was oh, even though we're small, we can be awesome, and yet Fletchling evolved in the episode.
Yeah,
it's like you're small, you can still be strong, and then it just evolves into a bigger bird and kicks ass.
Well, here's the thing.
You just get bigger.
I got a couple of things to say. First of all, we had last week with Hawlucha, and Hawlucha is a bro. I love Hawlucha. Then we got to see him flying battle here, and he just did terrible, and I was upset. I love Hawlucha. Fuck you.
Well, no, Hawlucha.
I was expecting when Ash tried to battle, like a little warning didn't pop up and said it's not compatible. Like, why didn't the text box show up?
Hawlucha had six ranger syndrome. It was badass, and now it's just a regular part of the team.
The little box pops up that says, "Your mom, there's a time and place for everything." Like, oh, fuck. But no, my thing is,
Kevin tries to whip out his penis in public. Professor Oak, there's a time and place for everything. Well, right.
Fletchling, for the entirety of X and Y, has been absolute shit. Right? And I mean literal shit. Not even figurative shit, but literal shit. Like, Fletchling, you know, like other Pokemon, like, touched him. Fletchling just passes out dead. Like, oh, fuck. I'm fainted. Like, what? You suck ass. All of a sudden, in this battle, though, he's fast and can, like, beat up on a Talonflame until he gets consumed in fire. And then his body says, hey, if we evolve, we become the fire type, and this won't hurt anymore. Okay, let's do it. And then he evolves. I'm like, oh, all right, that's the thing. Like, I don't know, it just pissed me off, because when a fledgling, the little tiny bird that's like 3 inches tall, suddenly become badass.
He hardly ever uses them.
Well, it's because he sucks. He's always like, Froakie, like, go kick ass. Like,
that's how it always happens, though. Fledgling, Starly, and Talo, like, he rarely uses them, and then as soon as they evolve, he uses them quite often.
He used Starly and Talo a lot more than he used Fledgling.
Well, but it's still early. Oh, I see what you mean. Like, in his early days? I don't remember using Starly that much.
It's been a while.
But maybe it's just because there was a lot more Team Rocket stuff in those days, and they were all...
They all got better screen time than Pidgeotto and Noctowl. Go catch Team Rocket's balloon! Just, like, so tired of it.
Go catch Team Rocket! Pidgeotto!
Pidgeotto should have been glad to leave.
But yeah, well, I don't remember what next week is.
I don't know. But speaking of Pidgeotto, Turtles.
I can't wait, because in a few weeks, what's her name was finally going to catch a fucking Pokemon.
Oh yeah, so, Pancham.
Pancham. I don't know why that bitch gets a Pancham. She gets all the cool things.
No, she just needs a Pokemon. She needs something to do. All she does is just sit there and wear a hat.
It's a little ridiculous, though, because, I mean, X and Y's been running for, what, a year now in Japan?
Yeah.
And she's only now catching her second Pokemon.
It's so dumb. She has, like, no goal either. Like, there's no storyline to follow for her. She had, like, that Rhino Racing episode that one time.
She has a goal. Get Ash's dick.
That's true.
That's her goal in life.
You can't catch Pokemon for that.
Like a typical woman, she's just after the dick. I just got slapped. I got slapped hard. I'm going to put that out there.
Speaking of dicks, turtles?
Turtles.
April, no.
This episode was a lot of fun.
It was.
Irma, no.
Seeing Mikey be a genius in this other dimension just because of how his logic works was great.
It really was. I loved it.
Been here a few months, or it could have been a few hours.
Mikey was fantastic. Leatherhead. I feel bad for Leatherhead.
He's all old.
He's all old. He's all even more leathery, like an actual old lady. But I'm glad they're like reunited and they're back with their buds again. And I like how he's like, go on ahead, I'm gonna stay here. And Mikey's like, not this time, motherfucker, and kicked him through the thing. Mikey has a potty mouth. I'm just in reference to last week, I didn't get to talk about. I liked having Daolan Wong in there with his three lackeys. I was like, oh, now we just need Uncle. Wong? No.
See, I told you he would know what was going on.
Daolan Wong, and he was like, what's Daolan Wong say? He says like some fucking weird Chinese thing no one understands. And then Uncle comes in and is like, you my fighty Tao. And then he's like, Jackie, you must stop him. Uncle, I am trying. Jade stole the talismans again. Why the fuck Jackie Chan talks like an Indian? I don't know.
I'm just picturing that confused Jackie Chan meme in my head.
Why do I talk Indian?
Detective, you?
It's like, Toru, go help Uncle. Be a good apprentice. Yes, Uncle. And he, like, stomps over and sumos the other guy.
Like, I wish I had more to say about the episode, but it just kind of sums up as a, this was really funny and I liked it a lot.
Leatherhead's back. How are you not happy? Like, how can you not?
And they set back the Krang's invasion by minutes.
Yeah, it was a nice lead into the season finale. Yeah. And
minutes, unlimited minutes.
It was really cool to see, kind of the way Dimension X is different from, you know, the normal
the old
world.
Dimension X.
physics kind of works different.
That shit was crazy because like old school Dimension X was just like regular place, but red. I don't know why fucking old school Dimension X was like so Coda's red. World. It really was. Like, but,
I love how Donnie said, their dimension sucks. I don't blame them for trying to take Earth.
I don't remember anything else specifically about it. I just remember, like, oh, I love when Mikey, like, came up with, like, we don't know what to do. Mikey's like, okay, Leatherhead, you're going to do this. Raph and Leo, you go over here. Me and Donnie are going to go do this. And they're like, all right. Mikey had to do all the thinking for them because they were incompetent.
Like, I told you, I got this.
Donnie's like, I can't make it work. He's like, move out the way.
Just bashes on it.
Everything about Mikey in this episode is just made of epic win. It's like, but if we go back, I'm not going to be a genius anymore. I'll be stuck working at an Apple store. So, penis?
It's just silence.
The silence has fallen.
The question was asked.
That's a good segue.
It is.
Like the one Paul Blart rides.
To the episode of Doctor Who called Gaim Heist. Sorry.
I'm out.
Find you and murder you for that.
I actually really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I did not see him being the architect.
Really?
Because when I'm watching it, as I'm watching it, my initial thought is, that we're gonna come to the end and just find out that like the whole thing was a plot by like the bank manager to be like a security system test just to see if anyone could do it.
As soon as he said he hated him and then he like smiled and says I hate him, I knew it was him.
Like, I wasn't paying that close attention like that, thinking like that, but I did really enjoy it. Like, I wasn't expecting like the chick to be a clone. Like oh, Miss Fennekin, like you're a clone. Like, oh, okay.
But yeah, this was another episode that was a lot better than I expected it to be. I don't know, for some reason the previews for this season of Doctor Who haven't really been selling them very well. So it's like,
that's the point.
A good number of the episodes have been way better than I expected.
I'm really enjoying Series 8, like, and I'm enjoying 12, like, a lot.
I thought he was, like, exceptionally funny in this episode. Like, there was a lot of funny lines. Like, at the very end of the episode where he's like, calories consumed on the TARDIS don't count.
And then she got all excited. It's like, really? He's like, no, that's stupid.
And when he was going over, when that thing was reading his mind or whatever, he was going over all his past incarnations, and he said he was, like, trying to go for subtle, but he wound up with Magician.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Like, I just love how he was like,
I can see it.
It's like big scarf, stupid bow tie. Yeah.
Other ones too.
I actually really enjoyed the side characters as well. They didn't really do a whole lot, but I don't know. I actually enjoyed the time we had with them more so than I normally do just one-off characters.
Yeah, I thought they had a fun little, you know, Ocean's 11 team dynamic thing going on.
I hope they pop up again.
Team dynamic.
Are you like what?
I said I just hope that they pop up again at some point. Because I did think that they were cool. Like, Aristotle said they didn't do a whole lot, but I thought they were likeable characters. Basically.
I did really like that monster thing. Like, it was well done just aesthetically. It was kind of disturbing looking, even if it had weird little, like, blinking penises for eyes. But,
that's what turned me on about the whole thing.
Oh, God.
So last week's episode, which I'm going to talk about,
that I really loved. Like, the opening of that one really made me like, yes, this man is awesome as a doctor. So I'm watching it. I decided, I said, hey, let's watch this with Kaylee because this is a good idea. And, of course, 3 minutes into the episode, he's doing that speech, and then I realized this is probably a mistake because here's this three-year-old laying on the sofa watching this TV show, and they're talking about shit coming off from under your bed and grabbing you. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go. We get about 10 minutes in. She's like, Daddy, I'm scared. I'm like, all right, look, two things. First, it's a TV show. Is pretend. It is not real. Second, the doctor fixes everything. It's okay. Okay. And then she just went to sleep a little while later. But we watched this episode together, and she was like, I love Doctor Who. This is awesome. I was like, there we go. But the penis eyes thing scared her. I'm like, it's not real. It's a guy in a rubber suit. Calm down. Penis eyes. But yeah, she's like, I just got, she thought it was scary. I'm like, it's okay. It's just, it's not real. It's a guy in a big rubber suit. It can't hurt you. She's just like, oh, all right. You should explain to her how it works. You should have
pulled the actual, like what the actual doctor would say. It's not real, really? No, but if it makes you feel better to believe that, go on ahead. I love when he does that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm the one that has to put her back in bed when she gets out of bed. Goes, I'm scared the thing's going to get me. I don't have to deal with that. I got a bad enough for fucking Hawkeye and Hulk are under her bed trying to get her.
Like, of all the people to be scared of, Hawkeye. Like, oh fuck, there's a trained archer under my bed.
Look, Jeremy Renner is scary, apparently, okay?
She did not like that newborn film.
He fights bitches.
She's like, Matt Damon or nothing. The worst fear is an actor taking over for Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Oh, fucking Matt Damon. It's Ben Affleck's butt, buddy.
So, back to this week's episode.
I enjoyed it.
Despite the... Like, the overall story was kind of... not really that original. I mean, it's basically your basic, like, heist.
Yeah.
Just, like, with the characters and just the general tone of Doctor Who, it just... It took like a somewhat mundane story and just made it really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. I like how they were trying to figure out, like, they had to figure out, well, why are you all here? What do we want? What happened? How did this happen?
I love the leeway into it, like, where he's like, nothing can happen by answering a phone, and then all of a sudden they're holding memory worms. That was like a really sudden transition. And I like the way it was handled with that. Who put you in charge? Man. It's mainly the eyebrows.
I loved that line. Oh, that line made me laugh. Oh. But yeah, it was just that part was so good. And then like at the end, like they go and they make it so that the beginning happens in typical like a Doctor Who type fashion. Like, oh wait, I know what I have to do now. I have to give this lady my phone number and like tell her this so that way when she gets old, she'll call me and we can come do this heist. Like, so that was a thing.
And next week I think will be pretty fun. Mainly because I really
the preview was already.
He's gonna be a janitor at Clara's school.
Oh yeah,
but I love episodes where the doctor's like in the quote unquote real world, like the lodger, or when just seeing him when he stayed with Amy and Rory during the
and
Cube episode.
Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, like, I just love the episodes where he's sort of in a normal environment. Those are always fun, and I think it should be especially fun with this one right now.
He has to figure out how to handle himself around normal people and do normal everyday person things.
Like, I'm curious how he's going to handle it, just because he's very different, because 11 was very alien. Like, he was just trying to figure out customs, and that was really fun, and... it'll be interesting to see how this one has it.
This one.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Penis?
I think that pretty much sums it up.
That's all. It always sums it up.
So how about that Facebook question?
Let's go to him next week.
I didn't get to give my answer for last week. My favorite Green Ranger, and it should be obvious to everyone here, Tommy. Why? First, number one, right?
Can't get enough of this joke.
Can't get enough of it. Fucking aerosol. Second, Jason David Frank. I mean, he is just a stand-up guy. He's a great actor. Like, the best Power Ranger ever. I mean, he stayed for so long. He's so good with his fans. Not a swelled ego at all. Very down to earth. Just he knows what he has to do to pleasure other people. And, you know, he just an all-around swell guy. Great Ranger. Best Ranger ever. Like, how do you not have a better Green Ranger than Tommy? He was Mighty Morphin. He had the Dragon Sword and a flute. Then he could just give his little shield away to anyone who wanted it. Like, here, Zach, you want to be black with a shield? You can be black with a shield. Fuck it.
Racism is dead.
No? That's right, I'm discriminating. I can share with the little Negro people. And, Lord, and I don't know why. He even said that in the episode. They bleeped it out. You don't know. It's like a deleted scene. The censors wouldn't let it pass. But, you know, it happens, you know. And he was nice enough to go on a double date with Zach and Angela, because he was just trying to help his friend get laid. He figured, hey, this bitch didn't give me any because Kimberly's a frigid little whore.
When you said Angela, I was just picturing Angela from The Office. I'm like,
and he's like, I may as well help Zach get laid. And that's just an all-around stand-up friend. Plus, look, he played football in that one episode. He did a commercial in that one episode. He scared Bulk and Skull just by doing karate 3 feet away from them. He helped Kimberly find her spinning wheel because she brought it to school because that was a thing. He came back. He lost his powers and came back. And, like, Zordon, he's like, Zordon, come on, man. You got to help me. I need to save the world. I got to help people. And that just shows what kind of a guy he is, always trying to help people and not be a little bitch. What other stupid things can I say that are just completely fake and not the real answer at all?
Your real answer.
There's not even a question.
Please.
Aerosol just wants this to be over. So badly. My problem is I actually don't have a real answer because, like, I thought about it and I'm like, oh, Cam, because Cam is fucking awesome. And I'm like, wait, Ziggy. And then my brain went, Plan Xander. And then I'm like, Bridge is so buttery. And I'm like, fuck. All the Disney greens are so good. Like, I like them all for such good reasons. The Saban greens are shitty. Damon, what the fuck was Lightspeed Rescue? Joel?
Damon with a hat, essentially.
Yeah, Damon with a hat. Trip.
I'm not even going to say anything. Nope.
Those three suck douchebags. And then, what, Mike? And
Mike!
And the other Mike. Showboating Hector David Jr., whatever the fuck his name is. And then...
Hungover in the elevator.
And then fucking Jake's just going around being like, Gia, I got a dick. You want it?
Plus, and he's half black.
Jake?
Yes.
No. Apparently, he's half black. That's a thing. I don't know where that came from. Racist.
From Megaforce.
Bear. Gah. Oh, I get it. I wasn't paying attention to the bit.
Singing the theme song helps him work through it. Whenever he can't think of anything, he just starts going, Mega! Oh my god. I love the idea of that being like a thinking jump starter.
You know, Carlos was a terrible green. He fucking lost the power chamber along with TJ and everybody else. Like, oh fuck, we lost this bitch.
He only got the job because his hair was identical to Adam's at the time.
Then Adam was okay, but he was just a background character. And Asian, and not even really fully enough Asian. He had to change his name to be Asian. You can't pick him. Saban Green suck boners. Suck bono. They just suck
boners are extremely like fancy boners. They're for special occasions. I got a boner.
They suck,
I don't know
bono.
Why, but I'm just imagining like a boner with a bib on. Like a really fancy one.
Bone bibs. They're like bro bibs.
They suck Bono so much that Apple put him on your iPhone for no reason. And you're like, get off my phone, Bono. I fucking hate your music. He's like, nope, I'm in the cloud. No one understands how that thing works. Like, thanks, Jason Segel, for showing me your sex tape. That turned me on.
Classic Marshall. Classic Beercules.
Oh, God, I've seen that man naked too many times.
I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall. He was naked, too.
I feel like our show is quickly approaching Segel. Its end.
Well, there'll be is more stuff for Ramble end? Time.
Because I've seen that a lot.
In the next few weeks. I think I'm the only one that watched Gotham, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, Arrow I have it. I have it recorded. I just didn't get a chance to watch it this week yet.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, but I didn't get to watch the episode.
Yeah, it was good. Arrow's going to be back in a few weeks, and Supernatural might get added when it comes back in a few weeks. I'm almost caught up.
Korra comes on in 10 days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Korra. Ramble Time's going to be packed. Meanwhile, Ben 10's still missing. We're going to put up a missing poster after the end of the world. So
I got 9 episodes of Supernatural left to catch up on, so... It would help if I didn't keep falling asleep during the... I have that sleeping disorder, you know, tiredness.
They really need to find a cure for that.
Seriously, it's pissing me off.
Called Red Bull.
I don't drink energy drinks. You can give you a heart attack from that shit. Fuck that. Well, Supernatural is not worth a heart attack.
I beg to differ.
Now
we're
time.
Hoping you have a heart attack.
No, guess not.
Final thingies!
There you go.
I have a thingy there. And it's not final.
I've got a dog in my face.
And it's not final because he's going to get more of them.
Brian's getting more dogs? Oh, God.
I am.
Brian's going to be a crazy cat lady except with dogs.
Kevin will just not shut up. Fucking A, what is it? Oh yeah, Facebook question will be up next week. I decided to do it every other week for these last few to make it stretch out. So it'll be this week we'll go up the Six Ranger one, and then the week after that will be the extra other people one.
Six Ranger bitches.
I don't think there's any other announcements or anything.
Marry me.
I don't want to go.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the RRR podcast. It sure has been a hoot, suckers.